Richard, did you say grab an activity pack because it's going to get really boring now?
Hey, welcome everybody. Am I on? No.
Welcome everybody. This is the second in our series of journeys. Last week we had someone we didn't know very well, Ryan Bevan, who was amazing telling us about his life and his faith journey. Today we have Andrew and Jackie, who most of you will know. And most of you will know that they are going away overseas. And I want to begin by asking them, if I were Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh, I would say, well, what's all this about being a missionary? What's a missionary? You know, are they Superwoman and Superman and they sort of gave up their million-dollar salaries and amazing jobs and forsook everything and went to serve the Lord in a hot climate and disease and all that kind of stuff? And all we're really required to do is, you know, give them money when they come home every so often. Are you Superman and Superwoman? Tell us about what it means to you to be a missionary.
I'm not speaking for Jackie, but certainly not for me. We struggle a little bit with that term, missionaries, and in a sense we're all called to serve God and to share God's love with others, and that's all we're doing. Jackie's parents were the old-style missionaries who kind of went out on the boat and had no idea if they'd ever come home again, and they did that for 25 years. We've just kind of left. We feel like we're not doing that at all. We didn't go to theology college, but we do feel like at this stage in our lives we are called to go and serve God's people in another country, and leaving you guys behind, leaving our lives here behind to do that, just as Katie, our daughter, is doing, and Doug and Claire Gibbons from the churches as well. So we kind of call ourselves volunteers. Our purpose is to share God's love with others, but I hope that's all of our purposes. Wherever we are, there's need all over Lower Hutt and New Zealand, and as Jack was talking, the world as well.
Great. Jackie, do you want to comment? You both don't have to comment on every question, but that's great. Okay, since you're ordinary human beings like the rest of us, tell us a little bit about your respective backgrounds. What kind of families did you come from? Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school and so on?
So Andrew's mentioned that my parents were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. So I was born in the highlands of Papua New Guinea in a mission hospital. And I went to a little mission school, and then for my high schooling years I went away to the coast to a boarding school type situation, and even though I attended a type of school, I did correspondence for most of my high school years. Came back to New Zealand to finish 6th and 7th form at Whanganui Girls College.
What's 6th and 7th form?
Everybody knows what 6th and 7th form is.
Year 12 and 13.
And then I trained as a podiatrist, which meant that I moved to Upper Hutt for 3 years, and that's probably covers that question, does it?
Yeah. All good things come from Whanganui. The Bevans, the Silks. Where's the Poets? Some of the Stewarts, yeah. So I was actually born in Wellington, but family moved to Whanganui, sort of raised and grew up there, went to school there, ended up Whanganui Collegiate, completely useless at school and academic stuff. Any young people out there, maybe particularly guys, what saved me was sport. I love sport, did all sorts of sport. Eventually realised that actually being good at sport, I could be good at stuff, and applied myself to my studies and scraped my way through. And I was brought up in a pretty cool Christian family. My parents involved in Baptist stuff down here for a long time. Grandparents who prayed for us. My dad was involved in building projects in all the churches he was in. I was reminded of that when we were pulling this wall down here. This is why Dad did that stuff. My mum was about 5 years ago president of the Baptist Missionary Union kind of movement in New Zealand. In terms of romance, I met a girl when I was at the end of sixth form. which is year 12, and I thought she was kind of okay, and but later on she decided to come down to Wellington to study, so I thought, oh, well, I might as well go to Wellington as well, and yeah, went to uni down here, and we ended up getting married when I was halfway through my studies. Jackie didn't have a job to go to as a podiatrist, but we took out a loan, which is a pretty scary thing to do. The bought a podiatry practice, had no idea what we were doing. I got part-time jobs while I was studying. We finished my studies, and I then kind of fell into career, but that's the next question. You can talk about...
You can talk about that.
Okay.
Go on and talk about
that. So, we... the bank offered me a great job, which I had no interest in at all, but had a salary that was going to pay me, and as a having no income to having an income was just fantastic. Helped us pay off the loan. And I ended up in that job that I didn't want for 20 years and kind of loved every moment of it. And along that path, discovered that... which is a bunch of things I was quite good at. Loved the big picture, loved working out how an organisation works well. And yeah, along that path we had some children.
I had some children.
I hope.
We have four daughters who are all grown up now and very beautiful, even if we do say so ourselves.
Now tell us how you... When you first made your commitment to following Jesus, and how that's morphed into the decision to serve God overseas, what's happened along the way?
Well, I remember making a prayer of commitment when I was about 6 years old. But probably the reality is that from infancy, my faith has grown because I grew up in a very nurturing Christian family. And... But I did say when we came back to live back in New Zealand, I always said to my parents, I'm not going to be a missionary. And now my parents are laughing because we're kind of doing some mission work, even though we don't feel that we have earned the title of missionary the old-fashioned way. we got to the point of deciding we wanted to go overseas and serve. Probably that journey began about 10 years ago when we went on a trip to India with the church youth group to visit the boys' home, and we met a gentleman who had retired and he was working for Freeset in Calcutta, and he was very enthusiastic about the concept of going and serving God overseas when you've got to the point at home where your children don't need you so much anymore, and perhaps you're retired, and if you've got some income that you can use and you've still got some energy left to give to something. He was sort of, I don't know if he was pointedly saying it towards us, but we maybe God was pointedly trying to give us a message through him that is something that quickened our hearts. And from that time, we've had a bit of a plan that when we got to that stage, we'd like to do the same thing. It felt like we were coming to a bit of a crossroads in our life where we could have chosen two paths, and one path was heading along, doing what we were doing and heading towards a comfortable retirement, or taking another path that was a bit more challenging and a bit more of an adventure and answering a call that God seemed to be giving to us.
So after 20 years in banking, I went to a men's camp through this church and had one of those awful, awful moments when they asked you to write down on a bit of paper what your priorities in life were. So as a good Christian, I said, well, you know, God is number one, and Jackie's number two, and my family, and blah, blah, blah. And I think work came in at about number seven. Then match up to that, and then the next column, how are you spending your discretionary disposable time, which is pretty much everything that we're doing apart from sleeping. And so that was awful because I was doing terrible hours at the bank. So... I was spending basically 90% of my discretionary time at my number seven priority, which basically tells you there's a massive misalignment in your values and how you say you want to live your life. And I think God really challenged me through that to say, well, yeah, you're not being the person that I want you to be. And what are you going to do about it? And it took me kind of a number of years to process that and to find a good exit path. But from that moment, I knew that I needed to change stuff around in my life completely. That being career obsessed is not of God. God equips us with skills and abilities and talents and gives us great careers, but we shouldn't obsess about any of those things apart from obsessing about God. So I left banking as a result of that and did some soul searching. And yeah, along the lines of what Jackie's saying, we still knew we had the kids at home for another 10 years, but we kind of made a bit of a plan to say, I'm going to get a job where I'm not quite so obsessed, where we're still going to be around for our church, around for our family. But once the family are off our hands, we want to be available to God to serve him in a completely different way, and to see whether we've got any skills and abilities that can be used in a different context than to be used overseas. So, yeah, leaving the bank was... I used to say my job was the best job in the world. I just absolutely loved it. So leaving that was really hard, but it was exactly the right thing to do. I then had 10 years in the public service. I absolutely loved my time there. Yeah, had some extraordinary opportunities and jobs. But knowing that after 10 years, after the kids left home, we were going to have yet another adventure with God, and we're kind of at the beginning of that. We've had 1 year where we've, I guess, trialled it, and it's really hard. But we kind of know that we've just sort of begun a new chapter in our lives. We've turned the first page. There's many more pages in that chapter.
Tell us a little bit more about that last year and the highs, any highs and lows that were experienced. Because I have to say, when these guys went, I thought they were pretty amazing, and I thought any mission organisation would snap them up like that. But it hasn't all been simple like that, has it?
No. So that this last year we have primarily spent time in Thailand with an organisation called Partners, which this church supports through Doug and Claire Gibbons, and Katie, our daughter, has also joined. So Partners is a relief and development organisation, largely based in Thailand, working with Burmese migrants and refugees, and aiming to share the love of Christ through aid work and through development work. They're quite an extraordinary organisation, and we've kind of fallen in love with them and with what they do. What do we do? This last year we've been doing English teaching, I've been doing leadership training, management training, I've helped to rewrite their strategic plan, I've done organisational development, we've done lots of kind of learning, lots of encouraging and supporting of others, and yeah, it just feels like we are on a very steep learning curve about a new culture. How does God work in a Buddhist society? How does evangelism work in that society? And how do we get on when we've got no friends? We're with each other 24/7. And you know, what is God doing in us?
Do you want to add, Jack, to that?
Highs and lows.
Highs and lows.
I think the lows would be just how hard it is to be away from family and friends. And last year when we were away, both sets of, my parents and Andrew's mum have become quite a lot frailer during the year, so that's been hard to see. And then my sister has had breast cancer, so she's gone through the treatment for that. So yeah, those have been... that's what's difficult about being away. But we also were very grateful to you, our church family, for looking after our girls while we haven't been here. And when they've had any challenges, people at church have just been wonderful at taking care of them, and we want to take the opportunity to say thank you very much.
So a story that we want to share about maybe highs and lows is a relief trip that I did into a place called Cox's Bazaar, which is in Bangladesh, but it's where 700,000 Muslim refugees from Burma have fled over the border because they've been terrible things have happened to them. So Bangladesh is one of the poorest countries on earth, so if you're voluntarily choosing to flee there, you're in pretty dire straits. So there's these massive camps for 700,000 people. There's no infrastructure. So it's fairly chaotic. A lot of aid organisations working there, and Partners, who's a small organisation, is helping to, I guess, fill in some of the gaps between the relief efforts which are happening there. It's quite a hard place to visit. It's pretty hot and smelly, and a lot of the things you can imagine happen in a refugee camp, that's what's happening there. We work largely through a local contact who has an awful lot of, he has a little bit of infrastructure that, to deliver aid and relief. While we were there, about a 12-year-old boy approached me, and he had a growth out the side of his face. And his carers were saying, you know, can you do anything through a translator? And so we brought him to the attention of our main support person there. And because the night before we'd given him quite a lot of money as a medical emergency fund, we used that fund to get him off to hospital, which could have never ever happened. So that was a 2-hour van ride away. He got some treatment there, but then he got sent to the Dhaka, which is the capital, to a big hospital. And at that point I was feeling like, wow, this is fantastic. This is showing the love of Christ to someone who had never had that before. And so I was feeling amazing about that. And then he died. And I wasn't feeling amazing about that. And so questioning, God, what's happening here? It all seems kind of pointless. And one of the wise relief workers from Partners said, well, the point is that we showed God's love in a pretty desperate situation. That boy had never received love from anyone in his life. That we showed dignity to him, that we showed that his life was worth something to Jesus. And that really hit home for me. So it was kind of a high and a low and a high all at the same time. Actually, I think one of the questions I didn't answer properly before was about our journey with Christ. So Jackie partly answered it. But for me, it's kind of a relevant question. How has my relationship with God changed over the last year? And I'd almost say not at all. But I'd also say that, it's been really neat to see God at work and God's faithfulness to us in some pretty powerful ways. So I can't imagine living a life not knowing God in my life. So knowing the creator of the universe and that he has a purpose for his world gives me confidence in my surroundings, but knowing that that same creator loves me just blows me away every day. And that's pretty special for me.
Amen. That's amazing. Okay, just go on and tell us, because you're leaving fairly soon, I think next weekend you said. Tell us what you're going to be doing this year, and then I'm going to ask Rob to come up and join me and we can pray for you. Things that you particularly have on your hearts as you go away.
We'll do this in two parts. So the first thing that we're doing is visiting another wonderful part of the world called Kolkata. And I think we previously shared about the work that this church has done supporting a boys' home there, which has now come to an end. But Pastor David, who's been looking after the boys, we're continuing to support him and his amazing evangelism work. So we're going to visit him, providing our visas come through this week. So prayer for the visas coming through would be useful. I just wanted to read an email which we found really encouraging and should be encouraging to all those who have prayed for and financially support Pastor David, and excuse the English, I haven't corrected any of it. Before 2 weeks back, I have desired to distribute 100 blanket and cake and oranges in every village where we are ministering. So Pastor David goes out to all these villages and does evangelism. But on the 22nd of December, that means today, was the day when we planned to start this work, but I have not sufficient money to do that. On the 17th of December, a prophet came to our church to preach on the Christmas program. When I asked to pray for blankets that I might distribute, then after prayer, the prophet said, Pastor David, God prepared a surprise for you. You can't think of. On that time, only I had 4,000 rupees in my account. I had paid 3,000 to the prophet. So it's quite generous. But I had $10, 10 New Zealand dollars left. So can you imagine having $10 left in your account? The 22nd of December, our program was meant to start, but on the 20th of December, my bank balance was the same. On December the 21st morning, I asked God for support. At 10 a.m., I checked my bank and I saw your wire transaction. So we sent $2,000 through on the 21st of December, not knowing any of that. Tears and best expression of thankfulness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. So we just thought that was pretty encouraging for us that we're in Lower Hutt, but we're supporting that work in another part of the world. And that money that we gave is part of the healing of the nations. So
that's the first thing you're going to be doing.
First thing. So yep. What are we up to after Kolkata? So we're heading back to partners to kind of do more of the same. We've signed up for, as permanent staff. I will be doing organisational development work, which is leveraging, my career back here. We'll probably do a bit of English training. We love the idea of visiting some of the established workers and encouraging them and supporting and helping them. So oftentimes places where some of the workers are really lonely. So if we can bring some sort of happy New Zealand smiles and love to them, we'll be doing that as well. And Jackie?
Most of the time last year I spent developing a parenting course, so I'll be looking for some ways of teaching that amongst different groups. And I've also been asked to look into marriage training, so that's something that I'll be focusing on as well.
Wonderful. Rob, do you want to come up and join me and we'll... You've got something?
Yeah, so in terms of specific prayer stuff, so our visas practically this week, we can't go without them, we haven't got our passports. Praying for our ageing parents and for our ageing children as well. It can be quite lonely there, so we're still building networks of friends. We feel really blessed here to be part of a neat network, but over there you're oftentimes you're completely on your own, and having a sane conversation with someone else doesn't happen often. Protection and good health, and for God's wisdom and direction, and showing us how we can how he wants us to bless others, and exactly what that's going to look like.
Amen. Father God, we thank you for this couple. We thank you for these ordinary Christian human beings like the rest of us who've responded to your call and your challenge to go into all the world and make disciples. We pray for their specific needs, Lord, for the visas to come through, for their health and well-being, for Holy Spirit insight into exactly what it is, the particular jobs that you want them to do. And we ask your blessing on them and their family, on their parents, Lord. As they leave them behind, we thank you for their girls and all that they mean to us. And we ask them, you ask your Holy Spirit to be with them and go forth with them in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father God, they're extraordinary, Lord. I thank you for what they're doing, Lord. I thank you for their obedience and stepping out, Father, and doing the things that they're doing where many of us look and wonder whether we could actually do that or not. Thank you for the example that they are to us in their obedience and stepping out, Lord. I pray that you protect them and watch over them, Lord. I pray that you provide for this visa so that they can plan and get things sorted and done so they can leave, Lord. I pray for Pastor David, Lord, that you continue to encourage him and continue to uplift him, Lord. And for us as we continue to support him in his work, Lord, thank you for the connection that we have with him. And I pray for their time together, Lord, when they see each other in a couple of weeks, that there'd be a real fruitful time and a real time of encouragement, Lord. And above all, Lord, I pray that as they settle back in to Thailand and Chiang Mai, Lord, that they just are able to settle, find some good friends, Lord, and that you just protect and watch over them, Father. And we'll miss them, Lord. I pray that we may be mindful of them and keep them in our prayers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone is keen to be on our email list,
was probably sent out a quarterly newsletter, then that's our email address, or we'll take you come and see us and we'll take your details. Cheers.